The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Join that conversation like the gentleman said, Victor, at 770-5633. Email Bill at billmyersshow.com. Wow, it was so busy, but it felt really good yesterday afternoon getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday, and I ended up saying, hey, Linda, don't worry, you're doing other things and getting things ready for the blessed holiday on Thursday, and I ended up heading out to Sherm's and doing our Christmas, not Christmas shopping, but Thanksgiving shopping, and it was just stuffed to the gills. It had been a long time since I'd seen that many people inside a supermarket, just absolutely wild. But there was something very comforting about it, too, really. Something comforting about millions of people, knowing there are millions of people out here. You know, yeah, we're standing in line and getting in line, we're talking, and you see people picking out the Granny Smith apples. Oh, you're baking pies, aren't you? I said, yeah, yeah. I just love that. There's something that is very comforting about that. And after 3 to 4 years of just utter chaos, and not saying that salvation is arriving on Air Force One in January, there is a turning. There is that feel that maybe a little bit of less team chaos is going to be in the making, and perhaps a little more thankful Thanksgiving than many. Not that you sit there and you take your entire worldly outlook by what happens with an election, because like I said, in spite of the fact that I'm very happy that President Trump is going to be there, it ain't salvation. It's not saving the country. It's almost like at least giving us a chance to catch our breath and work to saving the country, because there is a lot of work to do for sure. And you can kind of feel a bit of that. I'd see listeners, they'd say, hey, Bill, how you doing? Hey, good to see you. You're looking busy. And I said, yeah, yeah, I have a stack of stuff. But tradition feels good right now, doesn't it? I mean, really. I know this is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, but tradition feels very, very good. So I'm just going to just leave it at that, all right? You can join in at 770-5633. By the way, in spite of all those people that say that macaroni and cheese is a traditional Thanksgiving meal, I don't care. In no area of the country I've ever lived was macaroni and cheese a Thanksgiving tradition. It may be something you like at Thanksgiving, but it's not a Thanksgiving tradition in any place that I've ever heard of. But people are still yelling about me on the Facebook about it. But anyway, fine. It's 14 minutes after 6. Top local story hasn't got a whole lot of play, because there hasn't been a lot of information coming out about it. There was a stabbing murder out in Josephine County. Daniel Finney, 34-year-old Daniel Finney. And Daily Courier had a few blips about that. I guess they're going to have a little more information about this today. He worked as a server and a supervisor at Tap Rock Grill. And I guess he was stabbed to death Friday night. Just a heinous slaying, from the way it was described on social media. Someone said on my Facebook page, well, what about this slaying out there in Sunny Valley? And gosh, you know, we just didn't, there hasn't been a lot of noise about this. But the man accused in Finney's slaying, Keandra Demetrius Blanding, denied bail yesterday at court following impassioned pleas by the court by the victim's brother. The pain and anguish this man has caused our entire family, just an atrocious crime. It's unfathomable. Russell Finney, who's a resident of Galveston, Texas, telling Josephine County Circuit Court Judge Robert S. Bain. So it appears that Blanding is going to remain in jail for the time being. And we'll find out a little more information on that. So just horrible story. And the way the slaying was described was just absolutely brutal. I don't want to go into that. It's too early for that, but just your imagination, okay? Boy, you know, stabbing, that is up close and personal, that is for sure. Oregon Employment Department releasing information about unemployment here in Southern Oregon. Kind of steady, you know, it ticked up slightly. It was like 4.5% in October. It's 4.6% in November. They're actually calling this relatively stable year over year. And let's see. Trade, transportation, utilities dropped the most. Manufacturing dropped. Financing dropped about 100.5. Mining, logging, construction also down. Well, you figure there's going to be less construction. We get you know, layoffs over the winter, or there's less going on. all right. Government in November grew 440 hires overall in Southern Oregon, and private education health grew about a thousand jobs on the positive side. But other than that, there were some other losses. There is all sorts of drama going on with the Cow Creek Umpqua pushing against the casino in Medford. Yeah, this reported in the News Review. Now, this is News Review, of course, farther north up in the Cow Creek's territory. Wow. Andrew Griffin writing, the tensions escalating between the Cow Creek tribe and the Coquille tribe over the Indian casino that looks like it's getting closer to happening in Medford. Overall, the quote here, the Cow Creek Umpqua leadership very concerned about the lack of tribal consultation in this process. They've asked for meetings, they've written, they've emailed, they have called. They feel like they have been met with silence, Communications and Marketing Director Lindsay Campman said. Tribal consultation is a federally mandated move, and they really feel they haven't been properly consulted. With all due respect to the Cow Creek, what part of this process haven't you known about for years? This has been going on for what? The last 10 years or so? 8, 9, 10 years? It's about money. And the Coquille wants more gambling money, just like you want more gambling money out there at Exit 99. You know, everybody's that same way. I imagine, you know, the people, the tribe running Rain Rock Casino, Wairika, not real happy about it. But it looks to be as if it's going to be a big arms race in the casino world. What do you think, huh? 770-5633. Oregon Capital Chronicle reporting this morning, hunger rates increasing. Relatively high rate of Oregonians have struggled to get enough to eat. And they're talking about seriously, not just, you know, a little bit of food insecurity. But the stats reading here, about 1 out of 7 state residents suffering from food insecurity in Oregon. It's according to OSU analysis, looks at people's inability to get enough food in a predictable manner. Rates lower than in the years following the Great Recession, but a couple of points higher than 2020. And renters, people who live alone, lower education, rural residents, especially minority communities, and adults up to age 64 more likely to face food insecurity. Groups are worried about the farm bill. Ah, yeah, you see, food insecurity will be solved just by shoveling enough federal funding at it. That's the way they always tend to look at it. SNAP and food benefits helping 680,000 Oregonians a year are on food stamps. My gosh, it's like 1 out of every 6, 1 out of every 7 people. What does that say about the economic opportunity in Oregon? Will they ever think about that? You combine that with another story, this from OPB this morning. Oregon's first statewide housing report paints a grim portrait of affordability. Home prices and rental prices continuing to outpace the wages. Eviction cases, highest they've been in more than a decade. Oh, come on, OPB. Eviction cases are the highest, higher than they've been in a decade. It's because about for the last 2 or 3 years, it's been next to impossible to evict anyone. Okay, so we'll say OPB shouldn't even be paying attention to that. People are being evicted because they're not paying the rent, okay? Some are being hit harder than others. Oregon ranks first in the nation for the most families with children living without shelter. Number of children experiencing unsheltered homelessness in the state, 14 times higher than the national average. So, yeah, we're having trouble having trouble doing this. The part that I still wonder is they never talk about in any of these studies, OPB or anybody else, they never talk about the influence of state-mandated land use planning. You only build homes, you're only allowed to build homes where the state says that you're allowed to build homes. And they only want you building homes at this point in the climate-friendly, equitable communities. You know, they only want you buying or building apartments, little habit trails, stack-and-pack apartments in the cities. That's what they want. They don't want you living out in rural lands. They don't want you doing that. Of course, they're talking about the problems with rural homelessness. Don't think that there can't be a connection with something like that. There's also just the overall, inflation. But still, Oregon has only developed about, 18% of the entire land mass in the state. The vast majority of the state is not developed at all. But the point is that Oregon doesn't want the state to be developed. It wants us to have, densely packed urban hive minds. That's what it wants. That is what Oregon's statewide land use planning is all about. And if you're a developer and you actually want to build homes for people, it's 2-3 years in the permitting process, which is very much unlike. I remember what it was like when I was living in the Fargo-Moorhead area, and even Minnesota, a very liberal state for the most part, but you wanted to build a house, it didn't take 2-3 years to get your permitting processes through. Here in Oregon, it does. And then you have your system development charges and various other things. So our Democrats who run the state of Oregon are happy to put the report out, having problems with housing, but they won't go to the root. And one of the roots, of course, is that the state controls absolutely everything about where you can put a home. And that's just a fact of the matter. And on top of it is a sanctuary state. That's something else which is not mentioned. It's estimated that we have at least 120,000 illegal aliens here. 120,000 illegal aliens would naturally put a pressure on the housing market, would it not? But we're not allowed to say that. This is the Bill Myers Show. I hope you're doing well. 770-5633 to join in. And this is the Bill Myers Show on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., the best roofing pros in Southern Oregon. Decades of protection just around the corner. Specializing in metal roofing that stands up to inclement weather conditions year-round. Westfall's portable snap-lock machine pulls right up to your door and gets the job done. Get the protection you need with a new metal roof, done the Westfall way. Done right every time. Call or text today. Get a quote tomorrow. Financing available. Westfall Roofing. We've got you covered. 941-3736.
CCB 250-730. Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Myers Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Vilas Road on Airway Drive.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service.
American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
The conspiracy, Ground Zero. The conspiracy of the state versus you. The conspiracy against us. The conspiracy of the New World Order. The history of how it's going about. It's all falling into place.
You might think this is crazy talk.
I don't care because I believe the people wearing the tinfoil hats are actually smarter than most. And the thing is we've said many times that things are transpiring in this country and that people need to wake up. And now we're going to wake up people even more tonight.
Early evenings at 8.
How we can beat this.
News Talk 106.3 KMED.
This is Randall with Advanced Air, and I'm on KMED.
And I appreciate you waking up here 25 minutes after 6, 770-5633. We got plenty going on this morning. Dr. Carol Lieberman, America's psychiatrist, is going to rejoin me. If there's ever a time to need the psychiatrist on more often than not, it's these days, especially with Anthony Blinken's people going out there getting taxpayer-funded shrink sessions because of the results of the election. A lot of that going on here. A little conversation with her. Mr. Outdoors with a special Friday morning. I make that day Tuesday morning, rather. Outdoor Reports, because he's going to be deer hunting or elk hunting or some kind of hunting. You know me, I'm not into hunting, but I'll talk to people who are. And Greg will join me a little bit after 7 o'clock this morning. Herman Bearchicker is going to be popping in here, too. And we'll talk about what is going on with various things. And by the way, I do have some breaking news. Got some note from Commissioner John West about this. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. And then Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, called him up yesterday and said, hey, Rick, we're all going to be gone for the rest of the week. So D.C. Swamp update and a look at the picks and so much more and where we're looking at with the Trump administration this week. We'll talk about that after 8 o'clock. Also, a Diner 62 quiz that you can win. All right. Last night, Josephine County Commissioner John West, who, of course, is under recall threat. Supposedly, there's this recall, and the ballots are going out of the mail right about now. Interesting time to conduct a recall after people are exhausted with the election process, but that's the way it is. Well, I ended up getting legal papers from John West yesterday, from Commissioner John West, and Stephen Jonkis, who is his attorney, apparently, in this. And he has filed lawsuit in circuit court against Rhiannon Henkels, the Josephine County clerk. And the request is, they're looking for relief. The bottom line here is that they want to stop the recall. And John West's attorney, and according to these 25, 26 pages, I'm not an attorney, so hopefully I'm reading this okay. But they're saying that this recall is illegal. That's the claim. And the claim is because of the way that the recall petitions were counted. Because they didn't count, they didn't verify all the signatures on the petitions. Rhiannon Henkels ended up certifying it with using a percentage of the signatures. And I'll just read a little bit from this. In the case of the proposed recall of Commissioner West here, 6,445 valid signatures are required to successfully file a petition for a recall election. Nobody's disagreeing that you needed 6,445 signatures. Both sides of this all agree this is what you needed. Now, according to the law, though, which is ORS 249.875, every signature that counts towards the requisite total number of 6,445 must be verified by the county clerk. Now, Henkels did not verify every signature to determine that a sufficient number of valid signatures was submitted. According to the court documents here, instead, Henkels selected only 744 signatures, and based on examining those 744 signatures, they estimate that there were 6,476 valid signatures submitted. So in other words, it was like an algorithm. We'll check a percentage of these, and if a percentage of these petitions that were submitted look good, then we're assuming that the rest of them look good. Except that when it comes to recall petitions, the law, according to Stephen Jonkis, which is John West's attorney, the law doesn't permit the county clerk of Josephine County, or any county clerk for that matter, to estimate. You have to actually verify every signature to make sure that a person hasn't been signed up twice for it. I've done that before. You know, people will put out the clipboards at the county fairs and things, and I'll sign up for something. Then I remember, oh, wait a minute, I signed up for that when I was at the supermarket parking lot that one day, right? These kind of things happen. It's also making sure that the signatures all match people who actually are registered to vote in the county where the recall is going on. Well, Rhiannon Henkels apparently hasn't done that and ended up only checking out 744 petition signatures. And so John West is saying, hey, the recall election needs to be canceled. And a reading of the law to my non-legal trained brain, but I can read legal documents like anybody else can. But according to the law that they presented, Stephen Jonkis, he may have a good case. We'll have to see what the circuit court says. And they're asking for this to happen sooner rather than later. So possibly, if a judge is able to read the law and they agree with Commissioner West and the attorney filing the case here. Recall election in Joe County may go away. And maybe they would have to do it again. Or what I don't know is if you just cancel the election and the entire process is over, or if the county clerk would then be forced just to verify every signature and the recall election ends up being rescheduled. I don't exactly know how that works. Maybe we'll talk with Herman and others about that and see if we can get more of a bead on it. So recall election of John West under fire this morning, okay? 631 on KMED, 99.3 KBXG. We'll get the rest. Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here is what's going on. The final phase of comments are being taken for a controversial proposed gambling facility in Medford. The environmental impact statement is taking comments until December 23rd on what would be Oregon's first off-reservation tribal gaming center. The Coquille tribe wants to convert 2.5 acres of property in South Medford into a tribal gaming facility, and it's garnered resistance from tribes in Southern Oregon and Northern California, fearing the Medford gaming facility will divert people from their casinos on tribal lands, and Governor Tina Kotek opposes it. An Oregon State University study claims food insecurity has grown by 65,000 people since the beginning of the pandemic and has grown continuously. About 13% of state residents suffer from food insecurity. Expect a heavy police presence on Oregon's highways with saturation patrols for the Thanksgiving week, focusing on distracted and intoxicated drivers. Bill Lennon, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. President-elect Trump says one of the first orders of business when he gets back in the White House will be to impose tariffs on all goods from China. The goal is to force Beijing to crack down on fentanyl production, stem the flow of the deadly drug into the U.S. Tariffs also in order for two neighbors, Canada and Mexico. The Trump team calls a federal judge's ruling a major victory for the rule of law. Federal criminal case accusing Mr. Trump of trying to overturn the 2020 election has been tossed out. Israel's cabinet expected to vote today on a ceasefire proposal with Hezbollah in Lebanon. The initial truce would reportedly last for 2 months. DEI bites the dust again. Walmart, the latest and one of the biggest companies so far, to roll back its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Wall Street stocks opening mixed this morning. More details, srnnews.com.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 30th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 30th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
Lynn Barton here, Medicare Advisor at Sky Park Insurance. If you have Medicare Advantage, big changes are coming, so it's more important than ever to review your current coverage and compare plans. Annual enrollment is October 15th to December 7th. Let me help you make sense of it all. And if you're new to Medicare, I can explain how it works, your coverage options, and potential pitfalls. Call me at 541-499-0958 or find me at skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
541-941-3736 is the only number you need for custom-fit quality metal roofing solutions. That's 941-3736. Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today and get an estimate tomorrow. CCB number 250-730.
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, MPH, psychiatrist known worldwide as the Terrorist Therapist. In fact, one of her many websites, though, but a good main one to check out is terroristtherapist.com, is back on the program. Dr. Carol, it is great to have you on. Welcome.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. So are you staying mentally healthy as we as we continue to listen to Woke America thrash and scream and whine and threaten to leave or leave the country? Are you holding up okay in spite of all of this right now?
Yes. Actually, after Trump won, I feel as though a burden has been lifted from my shoulders. And yes, you know, they can squeal all they want.
Well, you know, like the vice president said, we are unburdened by what has been. So look at it that way. Hey, wanted to get your take though on what is going on with in the State Department and the apparently in the State Department they have taxpayer funded psychiatric care available now for people who just aren't able to handle what happened. What's going on with that? What do we know?
Yes. You know, we know that colleges, I mean, it's bad enough that our colleges have, after the election, they had, and I think during the election, during this whole time that people were upset about the possibility that Trump was going to win, and of course then afterwards as well, they had special rooms where students who were upset could cry, could color, you know, have coloring books, could do, you know, whatever it is that would calm them, have snacks, all of that, which is really pretty sad when you think that these are the people who are going to be leading our country in not too long. But the idea that the same kind of thing is happening in the State Department is just hard to believe. But indeed, they have been having at least two sessions so far, therapy sessions, group therapy, to help the people who are so upset that Trump won. Hmm. Now, this is our State Department. These are the people who represent us to the world, who, you know, are supposed to be sort of, you know, being our face to the world and determining some policies and so on. I mean, these are very important people, and yet they are crying that Trump won. Now, you know, what does that mean? Not only that they are not mentally stable, but it means that they are not going to be the ones who are going to be eager to carry out his agenda.
These people are going to have to be cleaned out, right? And I'm just curious, can most of them be fired and replaced by the president, or do we know, you know, at this point? How many are lifers? I don't even know if you know. We'll see.
Well, I'm not really sure, but I think that they can. You know, the thing is that these group therapy sessions, first of all, it's a group, not individual, and that's kind of dangerous if the group leader, the therapist, was a Democrat. And also, the payment for these therapists came from taxpayers. We are paying for them to cry in group therapy that an American election, finally, one election, last time, came through without too much fraud, you know, without enough fraud. So that
I think that's it. I mean, the fraud was still there, I think, just not enough to overcome.
Yes.
You know, what
exactly.
Was there was less enthusiasm for the fraud making, apparently,
yes.
this time along.
Well, yes. And they really had done a lot in the 4 years, you know, to set up people at these polls and, you know, ways to stop the fraud. Yes, I think there was some still, but it was too big to rig. You know, the number of people who voted for Trump was too big to rig. So that was fortunate. So instead of being happy that we had an election that actually reflected the will of the people, they are crying about it.
Now, had President Trump not won, Dr. Lieberman, I would have been severely disappointed, and I would have been a little gloomy for a day or two, just like, you know, any time something like that happens. But I don't think that the entire world would have come to an end. But literally for people that are certainly in this, in our democracy, I think, they really do look at it as their democracy, don't they? I mean, they really do think it is their possession.
Yes. Well, I'll admit I would have been I probably would have been crying, too, but not necessarily in group therapy.
Well, and you certainly wouldn't have been crying on TikTok, I'll bet, which what people have been doing. But
no,
yeah.
I am not. I am all against TikTok. I think we should ban TikTok. That's a very dangerous thing to be on. The Chinese are taking our data. And for a lot of reasons, it's a bad thing. People are giving out, people are pretending they're experts and giving out bad information. You know, there are a lot of reasons to not be on TikTok. But, you know, the thing is that, I mean, this, you know, this has come into, come out. Somehow it leaked out. But I'm sure that in other parts of the government, maybe they're not having group therapy, but they're crying. You know, there are a lot of people. I mean, that's the whole point, that there's this swamp in Washington that Trump needs to clear out. So there are a lot of people, and they are going to be obstacles to Trump's agenda. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, there's this woman. I'm not sure if we spoke about this before. I don't think so. But there's this woman named, she's a psychiatric resident named Dr. Amanda Calhoun. And she went on MSNBC. And she told people, you know, a national channel, she told people that they should shun family members over the holidays if they voted for Trump.
Wow.
Now, if the therapist for these therapy sessions, the group therapy sessions at the State Department, was somebody like this woman, you know, giving out bad advice, but not just that, not just about shunning family members, because I think they would have done that anyway, but just, you know, reinforcing that it's okay to hate Trump, to think he's a horrible person, to not follow his agenda, you know, all of this. So you have to be really careful who your therapist is. First of all, it's not okay to give patients advice, or even on the air, to give patients, people advice that are that is politically motivated. Now, I, of course, have been speaking for years about how important Trump is for our country, blah, blah, blah. But I don't tell people personally, my patients, that I have patients who didn't vote for Trump, you know, and who are against Trump.
And do they know that you voted for Trump or are a Trump supporter? Do they know this?
Well, you know, probably. I think, you know, either they've seen a television or
yeah, yeah. But you keep it out. You keep it out of the treatment room, though, is what you're doing,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, I think they have from various things that I've said. I think they have the hint. They probably know, get the answer right. But I do not tell them to shun people, or I don't tell them things that I'm very careful to not let that bleed into the therapy room.
Hmm. It seems like so many of these so-called sciences, you know, and I don't know, you know, psychiatry, you know, there's a lot of wiggle room in it. I think you'd be the one of the first to, you know, to admit this. But a lot of politics in this, which gets me concerned, especially when there are people that are saying, you know, when you have the wrong way of thinking, we should have government psychiatrists here to set you right. I'll bet you're not real supportive of that, right? Because of the politics involved.
Well, yes. Who's been saying that?
Oh, no. Well, this was back during the COVID time. Remember when to disagree with the narrative marked you as someone with a, what do they call it? Oppositional defiance disorder. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, oppositional defiance disorder. It's from kids.
Yeah.
But yes, a lot of people are acting, having temper tantrums and are acting like kids, you know, because of the election. It's very sad. I mean, the positive thing, though, is that they will eventually see, you know, that this is the best thing that happened to America. I mean, unfortunately, it's going to probably take a while.
Yeah, but from your lips, though, I like that, doctor. I really do. I appreciate that. You know, I was reading a piece on Fox News over the weekend that I thought was thought-provoking. And I don't know if you've ever talked with Jim Daly, who's the president of Focus on the Family. And that's his.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I did do some interviews on Focus on the Family. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he had a piece that was talking about the unhinged election outcry. And he had an interesting way of looking at this. And he says the hysterical outburst begged the question, what is triggering such irrationality? And where he came down on it is that it's as if the progressives look at the election as their secular religion. And I thought that was pretty thought provoking. And it's like, and when you don't believe in anything other than the power and having control of the structure, that this, that you would tend to be driven more in this direction. What do you think about such a view? I thought that was pretty thought-provoking take on it.
Yes, that is interesting. Because, you know, they really are against religion. And so, yes, it's become, that's sort of the point. It's like they all drank the Kool-Aid. They all drank Kamala Harris's and Biden's and Obama's Kool-Aid, you know, really believing that Trump was going to do all these horrible things if he got elected. He was going to go after minorities. He was going to, you know, do horrible things against LGBTQ+.
And he's going to put women in the Handmaid's Tale, you know, into a real-life version of the Handmaid's Tale dystopian future. But there are people on social media actually crying, women thinking that that was what was in store for them.
Yes.
They really drank that. Wow.
Yes, they did. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, there's an article today. This is sort of, I was thinking the timing isn't great, but there's an article I read it in thedailymail.com, it's in other places too, about how Target, which one was it? A big world's largest retailer abandons DEI and LGBT themed products across the company. And they're talking about,
Walmart?
It was Walmart.
Yeah. I think it was Walmart that backed away from them. Yeah.
Now, I mean, it's about time, and they're not doing it because of Trump. They're doing it because, when the Supreme Court voted that, that colleges were doing the wrong thing, that they shouldn't have affirmative action in college admissions, when that ruling went down, that made these stores and companies in general worried about DEI and, you know, products, LGBTQ plus products and things like that, that there were going to be lawsuits against them for this. So that's why that's the real reason it's happening now. But, you know, some people are going to think, oh, you see, look what Trump is doing already. He's not even in office officially.
I think there's a real hunger, Dr. Lieberman, for just, dialing down seriously Team Chaos and Team Crazy. I think people are hungry for some tradition, something other than just the political this time. At least I was looking at that. It was very crowded, the supermarket I was in yesterday, and you could kind of feel it among the folks that are saying, okay, I want my meal. I want my family, and we're going to try not to talk. And we're going to try not to talk too much politics. Although part of me just hungered after having my sister call me such nasty names over the years and hang up on me. But I've always treated her kindly. But there was a part of me post election that wanted to twist the knife just a little bit. I just wanted to call her up and go, and then hang up. But I won't.
Yes.
I'll wait until next time, I guess. But.
Yes, I have found that with friends who I knew who I couldn't understand, very smart friends who were still going to vote for Kamala, I've noticed how, I mean, I was planning not to talk politics with them, but I noticed how they also didn't, talk politics with me. So, yes, I think it's good if everyone just backs away. It is what it is. And, you know, talking, shunning your family or shunning friends is not going to fix it the way you want.
Nope, it sure won't. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Hey, before you take off, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes, and we'll put all your information up as always. You do so much great work on terroristtherapist.com. But what about the Menendez brothers? I read resentencing has been held off and rescheduled until the end of January. Does that bode poorly for the Menendez? And I know that you were actually in favor of one of the brothers being released, but you weren't so sure about the other one. There was like Eric and I forget their names. What's
Lyle,
the latest on
Lyle.
That? Lyle,
Yes, and I was so right because, I mean, not so right. I mean, they haven't made a decision as far as, you know, when they're going to get out. But I was so right in making the distinction between Lyle and Eric. Lyle is the older one. And he is the one who I said was sociopathic.
He's the one that was really driving the bus in your
exactly
opinion.
Exactly. He, you know, the younger brother was Eric was looking up to him. He was really driving the bus in terms of killing their parents. You know, not wanting to lose out on the
inheritance
and all of that. And Eric just, you know, kind of followed him. But also during the trial, Lyle was trying to get people to lie for him, to testify and to lie and so on. And now the latest thing is, and so both of them are married. And one of the things that Gascon brought up when he was saying that they, you know, should be let out of jail. And of course, he was doing this primarily as a Hail Mary because he was losing in the polls.
And he lost the election, so he's not coming back. He's going out. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he knew people were calling his office after they saw the Netflix movies, and they felt sorry for the Menendez brothers. And so he felt, well, you know, if I get these Menendez brothers out, or if I make this statement, at least, you know, he had a big press conference. If I do this, I'm going to get votes. Well, you know, I don't know how many people voted for him because of that, but obviously not enough. But what the thing is with Lyle, why I say that, you know, I was right, that he was sociopathic and so on. One of the big things that Gascon had brought up was their really good record, which they had in prison. They didn't have any blemishes against their record. They, you know, they did a lot of good things.
So they didn't get into fights, things like that. They're good model prisoners.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Exactly. But Lyle, more recently, it turns out that he's gotten into trouble twice because he had a phone that he shouldn't have, a contraband phone, cell phone, because he has a new girlfriend. This young girl, young school, college girl from England, Manchester, who is now his new girlfriend, and he has dumped his wife. I don't know if they're officially divorced, but they're separated. And she came to visit him already. So he's so in love with her, or lust or something, that he got these cell phones so that he could call her whenever he wanted.
And by the way, do they have conjugal visits in this prison?
They do, but not for people who are in there for murder.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I could almost do an entire show on what kind of women marry or become girlfriends of psychopaths in prison.
Well, you know, I wrote a book about that a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's still right. Bad boys, why we love them, how to live with them, and when to leave them. And the baddest boy were baddest boys were the boys in prison that women fell in love with. And it has to do with one feeling that he's not going to cheat on you. See, that's the big fallacy that women have when they are in love with and write to and all that and visit bad boys in prison, because they think they're the only girl who's doing it. But in fact, these guys have other girls, you know, and they figure that the girls are all over the place. So they figure that they're never going to meet each other.
All right.
Did I ever tell you about the show of Sally Jesse Raphael?
No.
Where?
No, you didn't. Tell me about that. I haven't thought about Sally Jesse Raphael forever, but what happened?
Yes, the woman with the big red glasses.
Yep.
A big talk show host back in the, I don't know, was it the
80s and 90s?
90s?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I used to do all the talk shows in those days. And so one time when I was on, the topic was women who love men in jail. And the men, I think it couldn't have been Zoom, but by camera, they had them in the studio. And then they had the women really there in person. And so it turned out that two women who didn't know about each other, thought that they were the fiancé of Richard Ramirez. Do you remember him, the Night Stalker?
Yeah, yeah. So two women thought they were... Okay.
But they were it. They were going to marry Richard Ramirez.
Uh-huh.
And they get to the show, and they're both on the stage, and they, like, look at each other, you know, what are you doing here? I'm the one who's marrying Richard Ramirez.
No, I'm marrying him.
They got into this huge fight, and I was brought down to try to solve their, you know, analyze them, to crisis intervention to stop them from killing each other.
How did you handle that, out of curiosity, the two women that thought they were marrying the serial killer?
Well, you know, thank goodness they did have guards, you know, security guards,
uh-huh,
that did help. I couldn't have gotten them. I couldn't have separated them physically. But I tried to explain to them, which didn't really work that well because they weren't in any mood for any psychoanalysis. But I explained to them, why are you so surprised? Here's a guy who raped and killed serially women. Why would you be surprised that he's cheating on you? Well, they didn't want to hear that, but it did calm them down enough to continue with the show.
Oh, I thought maybe they were going to come after you and try to beat you up.
Well, yes, they did not. They were not happy with me.
Oh, good. I would imagine not. Hey, doctor, you know, back on the Menendez brothers situation, so it'll be the end of January. If you were in charge of this, would you keep Lyle in and let Eric out, or keep them both in, or how would you rule on this? What you know about this case?
I would let Eric out. I think he has suffered enough, and I would keep Lyle in for another, like maybe 5 years, 3 to 5 years, and see if he really has learned his lesson, if he really is going to be able to be a model prisoner.
Do you think the reason this was delayed was because of Lyle having the contraband and being in trouble?
I think that was a part of it. Yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, what Governor Newsom said was that he wanted the new DA to have a chance to look at all the records and so on, to study the case and to come up with his own decision. Which, you know, I'm sure that's, you know, reasonable. But I think if Lyle hadn't done this little last minute kind of screw up at the last minute, I think maybe it would have gone more easily.
If he were to be released, would that be a miscarriage of justice, in your opinion?
Well, they've been in there for 34 years, approximately. So they have paid. And plus, it's interesting that the family, most of the family of the parents, who they killed, do want them out. Not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of the family members, but most of them do want the brothers out.
I know if my brother or sister did something like that, I'd have some real trust issues still. Just me.
Yes. Mm. But, you know, Eric has, he's married too. I mean, I was saying that if they're let out, they're probably going to both end up divorced. And Lyle, you know, Lyle, I don't know. I think Lyle made contact with this woman, this college woman in England before there was this chance for them to be let out. But, I mean, I think he, you know, started communicating with, actually, it was really bad. He met her on the website that his current wife runs.
Okay.
And at first he connected with her by not saying who he was. Like he, you know, I guess he emailed her or whatever, but not saying that he was Lyle Menendez, you know, just connecting as whatever fake name he used. And then eventually he told her who he was. This was a website that was for supporters of the Menendez brothers, you know, so he knew that she was that she was a supporter of his. And then, of course, you know, a woman on that website would be very vulnerable, especially vulnerable to him, you know, popping up to one of the brothers, popping up and saying, hey, hi, it's me.
You know, something tells me that over the next 4 years, you're going to have no shortage of business here from certain people here, Dr. Lieberman. Okay, we appreciate you so much. Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, America's therapist, the terrorist therapist to terroristtherapist.com, and so many other ways to get in touch. I'll put all that up there. Happy Thanksgiving, and stay healthy. We need you, all right? We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, too.
Be well. It's a shade before 7 o'clock. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Town Hall News is coming on. And then we're going to have a special holiday week edition, the Outdoor Report. Greg Roberts, before he goes out on his hunt.
When choosing a